Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Jones! Bowden!
He's got it!
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match.
Hello, welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket. Well, after a very ordinary first day at Headingley, what an amazing turnaround in the second day's play. England are certainly winning massive credit for their fun value, their entertainment value. Well, certainly this is what Ben Stokes and Brendan McCullum promised. And what an extraordinary turnaround today. 55 for 6, and now England well over 200 for 6 with that amazing 7th wicket stand unbroken between Johnny Bairstow and the debutant, Jamie Overton. What can you make of it all, Simon? Where do you start?
Well, it's a very good question. At one stage today, just look, right, OK, this is all unravelling, this news or buccaneering style. I mean, to be fair, New Zealand bowled well with a new ball, and Bolt was excellent, got it to swing. I mean, Root was out to an excellent delivery, for example. But, I mean, I think there was a moment when Ben Stokes was out, because he was coming down the pitch and hoiking and wafting, and he hit a couple of clean strokes as well. But when he holed out to mid-off, I think there was a sort of general sort of feeling around the ground. I think you can't play test cricket like this. You know, you need to play sensibly. But then the counter-attack came and England have hauled themselves right back into the game. We talked yesterday, didn't we? You said it's a bit like after the Lord Mayor's show yesterday. Well, the Lord Mayor's show was back on today, you know, with knobs on. It was just as exciting for the home supporters as it was at Trent Bridge, you know, last week.
And I'm sure, actually, those supporters play their part in it, don't they? Because, you know, on that final day at Trent Bridge, it was a full house, largely free, well, completely free. So a totally different sort of audience, like the People's Day, in a way, at Trent Bridge. And a similar sort of feeling today at Headingley. The Yorkshire faithful obviously love their cricket. They're passionate about their own. And they didn't see Joe Root succeed today, but obviously they saw their other favourite son, Johnny Bairstow, make another tremendous innings. And in some ways, this innings today, but by Bairstow, I don't know whether it trumped the Trent Bridge performance, because that was such a grandstand, barnstorming effort, taking an unlikely target by the scruff of the neck and pulling it off. But today, different conditions, slightly trickier bowlers to face, England in total disarray at 50 for 6, and he turned it round with a measure of good selectivity and judgment to start with, and then out came the blunderbuss towards the end.
Yeah, I think that's the point. That the position that England were in the game, I think, was perilous. I mean, they were gone, effectively. I mean, you don't win many test matches from 55 for 6 when the opposition have scored 329. But, you know, a couple of hours later, 37 overs later, England right back in the game, and you might even say they're sort of marginal favourites to win it. They could put some pressure on New Zealand in the third innings, which can often be a tricky innings. They've got power to add as well. You get a different feel, don't you, sometimes when you come back the next day, all that adrenaline is gone and that crowd excitement is gone and the momentum is gone and you have to restart in the morning. But if they do get going again, I mean, it makes you wonder where they can end up. And, you know, to get a really big score and perhaps put pressure on New Zealand in that third innings. I think probably it's unfair to compare in a way. They were just two brilliant days Test cricket, both very different, and as you say, on very different surfaces as well. This pitch, you know, isn't the absolute belter that we saw at Trent Bridge. Although at times, you know, when Best and Overton were batting, it did look a really good pitch. And it looked as though they totally put it in context. But the ball did swing, and that was England's undoing at the top of the order. Perhaps we should talk about, you know, before we talk a bit more about Bairstow and Overton as well. It was interesting, actually. I was down by the on the boundary edge waiting to do the post-day interviews at the end, and Bairstow walked off and he was being cheered off. And there was poor old Jamie Overton behind him who didn't quite know whether to raise his bat or not. And all the applause really was for Bairstow. But I mean, this is Jamie Overton playing his first Test match and he's 89 not out coming in at number 8. You know, he had an incredible day. 89 not out of 106 balls with 12 fours and 2 sixes, and he actually just looked a little bit sheepish as he was walking off because it was the applause was for Bairstow. Anyway, Yoz, what we should do
Before we get into England's early order batting, I suppose we should just give Alex Stewart a bit of credit, because this is what he said about Jamie Overton on yesterday's podcast.
When we signed him, it was, we're not just signing you as a bowler, we're signing you as a bowler batsman all rounder. And again, he'd probably been, he's one of those, and Yoz, it's probably the same with you. If you bat at number 10, you bat like a number 10. I'd never know. Did you get that high? I'm not sure if you did in the order. But we said to him, no, we want to get you in at, you know, can we get you in at 8? But think as a batsman. We've got quite a lengthy batting lineup. So at times he's gone in at 9. But when he thinks as a batsman, he plays like a batsman because he's got a very, very good technique. That's red ball cricket. And in white ball cricket, you know, yes, we've got off to a nice start in the 2020 group stages, but he has won us a number of games through his striking, but also his intelligent batting.
And Alec got it right, didn't he? Just actually giving Overton the chance, the opportunity, the backing to bat up the order and see himself as a genuine all-rounder seems to have worked a treat. But anyway, let's go back to England's early travails against Trent Bolt. Brilliant bowler, isn't he, Trent Bolt? I mean, he's not quite as sort of vicious or menacing in a way than, say, Wasi Makram was left arm over with the new ball. Because in a way, Wasi Makram was actually almost better with the older ball. But Bolt has just got that waspish late swing, and he's always prepared to pitch it up, a bit like Mitchell Starc as well. He loves pitching it up, and there are days when he's just got his rhythm beautifully in sync, and that ball just swings a little bit later than on other days. He's obviously got a wonderful rhythm. Sometimes people say that bowlers bowl too much and they're going to be tired, but actually I think bowlers almost get better the more they bowl. And Bolt has sort of got gradually sort of moulded into his dangerous, certainly early overs in this series. Today, I mean, you could blame the two right-handers for the way they were dismissed, and we can look at that. But I thought the quality of the balls also was outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, the one that got Lees was a superb delivery. Of course, he was dropped earlier in the over by Mitchell at slip, and it's quite a loose stroke. It wasn't a great four from Alex Lees today, but the ball that got him was a beauty. There, if you haven't seen it, you know, go and have a look at it, BBC Sport website or whatever, or BBC highlights on iPlayer. It sort of angled in, just left him, and nipped off the off bail. A fine delivery, and you know, no criticism of a batter who gets out to a ball like that. Crawley and Pope, as you say, so in swingers. Crawley's playing a big shot, wasn't he? And Pope probably just that technical setup. Well, you analyse it. You deconstruct the two dismissals of Pope and Crawley.
Crawley, of course, is the classic case of he's been done a couple of times by Bolt going across him, and had some good deliveries actually, which he's edged. and caught behind. And so now he's conscious of that bolt angle. So he's trying to be able to counter that, looking for the ball that goes across him and perhaps not so conscious of the ball that comes back into him, which was the one that did him today. And, well, I mean, the problem he has is he just commits himself too early to a drive or an attempted forcing shot. And I just think, we've said this before, it's as much as it is about technique, it's about decision making. And if you see that ball early on, which clean bowled Alex Lees, you can see it swinging late. You've got to play the ball a bit later. And he's just got to get that in his head that forget about the booming drives if a bowler is doing that. If he's not swinging it, maybe you can think about the booming drives. But if he's swinging it like that, you've got to play the ball a bit later. And he just left a big gap. And I thought, actually, the way he walked off, I thought he looked, mentally pretty gone, actually, because he didn't even look back. He played the shot, he heard the death rattle, he wandered off. I think he was almost expecting to get out today. I mean, obviously he'd never admit that, but I think deep inside his head, he can't fathom bolt. He's got him on a platter bolt at the moment. He can feast on him any way he likes. Crawley hasn't got any answers, and it was almost like this is inevitability. And I know I'm going to get out today, and he just walked off almost accepting his fate.
Yeah, that's a really interesting observation. I noticed that as well, that he didn't look back. He just walked off. And sometimes a player is so low on confidence and low on form that you might have to say, well, we need to look at someone else for now. It doesn't necessarily mean the end for Zach Crawley, but he's in a sort of trough at the moment. He's got one more innings to come up with something convincing. I presume he's got one more innings as well. And Bairstow and Overton produce something absolutely sensational tomorrow, and then they managed to really squeeze New Zealand. I mean, God forbid they would lose this Test match by an inning. So you'd think that Crawley's got one more innings to produce something before the India series. It could be quite difficult to bring someone in, though, because there's so much T20 is being played at the moment. What do they do? Do they pluck out another opener? And I suppose Rory Burns might be someone they could look at.
Although Alex Stewart says that the selectors haven't been down and talked to Rory Burns.
No, that's true.
Since the beginning of the season. I mean, for me, I think Crawley probably will stay in for the India Test match because they haven't got a left arm over bowler for a start. And at the moment, it's that's the thing that's causing him the most trouble is Bolt's skill. And so obviously after this next innings, England's next innings, he'll be presumably only facing right arm over bowlers. They'll still be pretty good. They're Indian in the Indian Test team. But I wonder whether, that might just be a little bit of a release for him. Ollie Pope got into a bit of a tangle himself. Again, you've got to give a lot of credit to the delivery, late swing, even more nip off the pitch. I mean, Pope's just come from a very good 100 at Trent Bridge, so he should be seeing the ball pretty well. He should be feeling reasonably confident. He's just a bit vulnerable to that ball coming back in. But sometimes bowlers are allowed to bowl good balls and get people out like that.
Yeah, Joe Root did get a good ball, a really good ball from Southie after his terrible time at Trent Bridge. It was a lovely piece of bowling, actually. Three quite wide away swingers, just fifth stump, sixth stump, and then a straighter delivery that also left him as well, and Root nicked it behind. I think that was a good ball as well. Lee's got a good ball, Root got a good ball. I mean, Crawley's and Pope's, as you say, were good balls, but perhaps just not particularly well played. Was it Jeffrey always says, Test cricket is about learning to keep out the good balls, and perhaps Crawley and Pope probably could have kept out their balls. Not sure about Lees and Root. And then Ben Stokes's innings. I mean, utterly frantic innings from Ben Stokes. His third ball for six, smashing it back over the bowler's head. And there were a couple of huge wipes as well. I mean, Wagner, the first ball he bowled to him, he had a huge wind-up, and it was a horrible slog. I mean, there's no doubt about it. His head was right up in the air. It was a sort of slog that you would see in the last overs of a club match on a Saturday afternoon. There'll be plenty of those tomorrow. It was a head-up yahoo. I think perhaps one of the things about Stokes' innings today is the feeling, and we saw it, didn't we, eventually, with Besto and Overton, if you do give yourself some time, and Ben Stokes has done that recently, you can then really catch up and score quickly and totally dominate the bowling. And he actually did play two or three magnificent shots mixed in with the sort of the charging down the pitch and the hoiking and the larruping, and it was a very tame way to get out. There was one of the journalists here, and he said he was in the stand on the far side when Stokes was out. And the news stand at the far end, what was the rugby stand, and he said someone stood up in that stand and said, in quite colourful language, you can't play test cricket like that, with a few expletives in there as well. But the point being, what was he saying when Stokes whacked this third ball for six? I mean, it's an interesting one, isn't it? That it's about finding that balance. And yeah. What do we say today about England? It's totally salvaged by that Overton and Stokes, Overton and Besto partnership. So it wasn't totally about England frittering their wickets away with extravagant shots. There was some good bowling. Now that's the point, isn't it? But I suppose the Ben Stokes dismissal is the one that stands out in the you can't play Test cricket like that mould.
Which is what actually Michael Vaughan said on commentary, isn't he, as well? And I mean, I think he got it right. I think what's happening with Stokes at the moment is a little bit what sometimes happens to Owen Morgan as the white ball captain. And basically, what England have done over the last 4 or 5 years is they've reinvented the way they approach cricket, certainly with Owen Morgan and the white ball team. It was all about freedom and playing the aggressive, fearless brand of cricket. And how do you sell that message to the team? You do it yourself as captain. And Morgan has, you know, he's gone out on a limb often in a game and just basically tried to belt in a one day game and tried to smack one of the first 4 or 5 balls he faces for 4 or 6. He's down the wicket trying to play a big shot in a suitable situation or suitable circumstances. He's quite a few times, you know, gone in and played a big hook shot sort of early on in his innings and perished, but in a way said, look, that's how we're going to play, and I'm going to, you know, be the trailblazer for that approach. And okay, if I fail, but I want us to keep going and keep pushing in that way. And I think Stokes has almost seen how Morgan conveyed that message to the one day team, and he's felt he needs to do that to the test team. He needs to throw caution to the wind. He needs to show total liberation and freedom in the way that he plays to make sure the team grasp and retain that message. But he's just got the balance a bit wrong. You know, he's just gone a bit too far. He's gone to the almost illogical extreme of kind of slightly kamikaze batting. And he's obviously a much better player than that. And I'm sure gradually over time the message will sink in that he doesn't need to play quite as extravagantly as that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
There was one lovely shot from Stokes, actually, which would sort of encapsulate that approach, where he came down the pitch and then it wasn't quite there for the big stroke, and he just caressed it through the offside and actually showed his total class that he was able to adjust at the last moment, and he played it through point for four. It was a beautiful piece of cricket, actually. It was one of the shots of the day in a sort of very subtle and understated way. Anyway, and I think that gentleman who stood up and said, you can't play effing test cricket like this, Stokes, there was an element of disappointment there as well, because he's such a thrilling player to watch. And I mean, the other point as well, you come and watch England, you do not want to miss a ball, because I mean it's so entertaining. It's ravishing, really. It is like watching that England white ball team, and you did have that feeling today with, oh, this is the day that's all going to come unstuck. Although I would just emphasize, it wasn't all down to reckless stroke play today. There was some good bowling, but of course it wasn't so. That incredible partnership between Bairstow and Overton, worth 209 in 37 overs. There was some good fortune, we should say that. Johnny Bairstow was dropped on 27, return catch to Neil Wagner. Quite a difficult one. You'll know yourself, Yoz, as a bowler on your follow-through, not easy to take those catches. And then, of course, another one with Craig Overton, who was, there was an LBW appeal that was given not out, and if New Zealand had reviewed it, he would have been on his way for five. So it's amazing how we've had some real incidents like that in this series, drop catches or those sort of things happening that could have just changed the course of the game. And it didn't feel that significant at the time. It would have been 62 for seven, but goodness me, it doesn't now feel as significant now.
Mm. Well, wonderful partnership, fantastic start for Overton in Test cricket. I'm sure it was good actually getting his bowling out of the way first and then being able to show what he can do with the bat, and some wonderful, uncomplicated blows, the type of stuff that both Somerset and Surrey fans will be familiar with. But now he's strung a few together. And actually, I thought what I really liked about his innings was, there were some good, uncomplicated blows early on. But then when, say, Daryl Mitchell came on and dangled the ball outside off stump, he had the sense and the context, the perspective to, understanding the situation. He left the ball and tried to play for Johnny Bairstow as well. So it wasn't just a sort of farrage of, huge hitting. He did actually play a very kind of clever, well thought out and increasingly mature looking innings. And it's put England in this fantastic position. I would say a slight criticism of New Zealand. They've allowed this England team to kind of run amok several times now and come up to parity with them or, recover from parlous positions. And I think the blame has to be laid a little bit at Kane Williamson's door. He looks a bit helpless in these circumstances. And it's not easy when the ball's flying to the boundary and you've got two pugnacious batsmen battering the bowlers everywhere. But if the captain needs to take control here and slow it down or change the approach or just something different. And it, to me, Williamson, when I was lucky that I played under two brilliant captains, Mike Brearley and Mike Gatting, and particularly Brearley, people said he always seemed in control, even when the situation was more in the opponent's favour. And players in the opposition felt his presence at all times. And I don't feel that with Williamson. He feels like almost there's inertia and almost sort of, I don't know what to do, kind of facial expression. Lovely man, obviously a great ambassador for the game, one of the cricket's great sort of gentlemen, but sometimes he looks as if he's not sure how to regain any kind of control.
Yeah, I mean, one thing they could have done is, and which they didn't do at Trent Bridge, was just to bowl one side of the wicket quite wide. But I suppose you're always trying to get players out, aren't you? I mean, England was six down, one more wicket into Potts Broad Leach. Bowl wider off stump with a packed offside field, something like that. That would have been one tactic they could have used. I mean, I think, and I thought this on the first morning as well, when I sort of looked at the pitch and it is dry, that the fact they left out Ajaz Patel and played the part-time spinner Michael Bracewell. England have got quite a lot of right-handers in their side, and I just wonder whether they should have gone with Patel, and that might have given them a bit more control, spinning the ball away from the right hand. It might not have worked, of course. He might have been pumped into the stand as well. But Bracewell, four overs for 37 on a pitch that is offering something for the slow
Jack
bowlers.
Leach got five wickets, didn't he? I know they're not necessarily authentic five wickets, but still he got them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a strange five from Leach. I was going to go on and talk about that. Anyway, I think New Zealand picked the wrong team. They should have been perhaps a bit brave, and Patel should have played. He didn't, and their attack felt a bit thin. A lot of emphasis on Bolt, Southie and Wagner. Wagner hasn't bowled very much. Two wickets in his first over. He's gone at five, nearly six runs an over. Even Bolt and Southie have gone at 4.5 runs per over. They turned to Mitchell. Mitchell nearly got Bairstow out two or three times, and that's all that dibbly dobbly type of bowler, but it wasn't to be. So Jack Leach then, five for 100. That's what it says in the book. The breakdown of it was a wicket with his first ball, a bit of a lapse of concentration from Will Young, then the freak wicket, and then three caught in the deep going for big shots. Fine, take the wickets however they come. It wasn't probably your classic fifer, but he might sense now, and Bairstow and Overton's given this opportunity back to him, he might sense the possibility of a more genuine fifer or something approaching it in the second innings on this pitch.
Which would be nice for him, because you felt a little bit sorry for him when England had collapsed to 50 for six. And yeah, the prospect of him bowling on a fourth day pitch, which is turning a bit with runs on the board, seemed far-fetched. But now he might have the chance to bowl sometime on the third or fourth day, and the pitch is actually offering, and maybe some batsmen under pressure with men round the bat, which is what spinners always desire.
Yeah, it's a really forlorn task, isn't it? If a team gets a lead of 150 in the first innings or 200 or whatever, doesn't enforce the follow-on, then you just cannot create any pressure at all. Even if the ball's turning, you might get in the game a bit. You might pinch a couple of wickets if balls at turn. But yeah, if you've got that pressurised situation, then those players feeling the squeeze a bit. Yeah, it's such a completely different game. It's just that psychological aspect to it, and he's been given that by this Overton and Bairstow partnership. Who knows where it'll end up? I mean, I think what you want to be is in your seat at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. You don't want to get to Headingley late. I mean, even if you miss 20, 25 minutes, you might have missed 30, 40 runs with the way this England team play. And who, on the other hand, they might be all out in the first half an hour. It's helter-skelter cricket. It's not the sort of cricket that we, test cricket, that we grew up watching when we were young. I mean, we saw some thrilling cricket, that great West Indies side, we've got some fantastic Australian side, we've seen the likes of Ian Botham and all that. But this feels like something a bit different. I'm not sure how long it can last. I'm not sure whether you can do it against all sorts of opponents in all sorts of conditions. But it's not bad for starters.
No, it's a great advert for Test cricket, really. I mean, I think the run rate in the series overall is over four, which is fantastic. And remember when Australia, when they were so dominant in the 1990s, and they raised the bar for aggressive batting, and they almost invented intimidatory batting, and their run rate was up around sort of 3.5 to 3.8 and over. And that kind of certainly upped the ante in Test cricket. And England are doing it again now. What is it about New Zealand and England that produces these feasts of vision and sport and enterprise, which they've consistently done over the last year or two? England now only 65 behind, so they could go on to get a lead, and all results again possible, having looked at the WinViz rating at like 2 o'clock this afternoon or 3 o'clock this afternoon, and England had about a 2% chance of winning. Well, now it's 50-50, isn't it?
Yeah, and at one point, I mean, a bit later in the day, they were giving WinViz, they were giving 19% to the draw, which, I mean, I just can't see this game being a draw. Well, I suppose if the weather intervened, that's a possibility, although I think the forecast is not too bad. But just the way England play, you can't see them playing for a draw in this game. I mean, they might be forced to right at the end, say, on the final day. But this feels like a one way or the other game. This one, a New Zealand win or an England win, and somewhere along the line, it's going to be pretty exciting. So, yeah, absolutely captivating second day. We haven't mentioned Daryl Mitchell as well, which seems remiss when you consider this middle-order player has made 300s in the series. A remarkable series for Daryl Mitchell. Wonderful. He's not had a very long Test match career, but he's certainly made his mark this summer in England.
Yeah, actually, I will have the privilege of interviewing him next week, actually. He's doing a special masterclass for the Rajasthan Royals, actually, who, of course, he was representing during the IPL. So I'm going to be at a school in Surrey during next week, and I can't wait, actually, because he just he's got obviously wonderful ability, but he looks like a fine man as well. He looks like he's got a tremendous character, and how sort of unfair it would be if he scored 300s in the series and ended up winning and ended up not winning a single match. It would seem really unfair. But I think we should just finish by saying good luck to Jamie Overton's sleep pattern tonight.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, 80-odd not out in your first test innings, An extraordinary story, really, an extraordinary family story, actually. What an amazing sort of sequence of events we've had over the last few weeks involving the Overtons. And my other podcast, The Bearers of Margins, actually explored the art of sleep with John Gloucester, the Rajasthan Royals trainer, a few weeks ago, and the importance of getting a good night's sleep. So, Jamie, if you happen to listen to this, well, hopefully we've put you to sleep by now and you get a good one and you get those few runs that you need in the morning. What a tantalising third day in prospect. We'll be back to tell you about that straight after play. See you then. Thanks for listening.
Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.